You are watching Speak It Out and Sing It Loud on Adelante with Arlie. Let's get started.
Welcome, you're tuned in to Adelante with Arlene. But this is the segment entitled Speak It Out, Sing It Loud, which I have a playlist here on Adelante with Arlene. Now, Speak It Out, Sing It Loud, as I always say, is, well, a place where I allow my friends of old and friends of new to speak it out, whether it's about a topic or to share about their entrepreneurships, their successes, their failures, and the things they've overcome in life in hopes to encourage you. Check out that playlist, Speak It Out, Sing It Loud, here on Adelante with Arlene. Today, I am so thrilled to have two lovely ladies, which I am so blessed to call friend. One from New York City and one that just moved from New York City here to Florida. I am excited because both these women on their own have so much to say, so much to share, that I will have to bring them on again individually. But for today, we're joining together, as sisters should, to discuss a topic that has always been heavy in my heart due to the fact that at one time I too was single. These ladies will be sharing in hopes to enlighten you and most of all, encourage you. So without further ado, let's bring on my two sisters in the Lord. Welcome everybody, my friends, Vanessa and Margie. I am so glad to have you both on Speak It Out, Sing It Loud. As I mentioned early in my introduction, these are friends of mine. And as I always say, Speak It Out, Sing It Loud, I'm going to bring friends of old and friends of new. And Vanessa's friends of old and Margie's friends of new. So Margie's coming to you from Florida right now and Vanessa from New York City, the wonders of internet, ladies, right?
Love it.
So Vanessa, won't you greet everybody? Tell them a little about yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vanessa. I am 48 years old because I'm not ashamed to say my age. I was born and raised in the Bronx. I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 24, but I really started going to church when I was 27. I've been a long time Christian. I could say I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I also am part of the worship team at my church. I go to Harvest Field Community Church in the Bronx. And I also am going to start up with missions. So I'm excited for this new venture out. I was a school teacher, Sunday school teacher. I did a vacation Bible school with the youngins, the little four-year-olds. So now off to a new adventure right now with missions. So I'm really, really excited.
Ooh, we're excited for you. And Margie, tell a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. First of all, I want to say thank you for this opportunity for being on your show, Adelante with Arlene. I'm so honored to be here with you guys and honored to meet Vanessa as well. And so a little bit about me. I'm also from New York City. New York City in the house. born and raised in Queens, New York, and then later on moved to Jersey for like 13 years to finish raising my kids over there. And it's been a journey. My kids are raised and grown, and they actually stayed up north. You know, they have their own life. They're independent. And so mommy moved to Florida. You know, I moved here to be closer to my family. My parents are here. And I'm really loving it. I've been here a year, and it's been a journey. So born and raised in the church, and when I was 19, 20 years old, I started to venture out and do my own thing in the world. You know, I felt like in the Pentecostal church that I grew up when I was really restricted. So when I became an adult, you know, I wanted to find out who I was and, you know, find yourself, you know. So I recently came back to the Lord 5 years ago. And it's been a really great journey. I also started my business 5 years ago. A lot of things happened when I reached 40 years old. So, you know, I'm 45 now, and I love it. You know, I love what God is doing in my life. I love the journey that I've been on. I wasn't able to say this before. I was like, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why this and that? But later on, when you become more mature and you age more and you get to know yourself in Christ, you get to know why you had that journey, why you had to go through certain things. So it's now at 45 that I'm able to say I'm grateful for everything that I went through in life because it made me the person who I am today. So I have a business called Synergy Network Worldwide, and we market and promote the faith-based community. So we're like a platform to market and promote all the talents and all the small businesses that are faith-based. So I'm honored to do it. You know, we're growing strong every day, and that's what I do. Glory to God.
Oh, so excited. So, Vanessa, what's your age again?
I'm 48.
48, 45, 58. I'm going to be 59 in December.
And you do not look anything like that. Oh, my God. You age so well.
Thank you. I love it. So we're the reason we're saying our ages is because we are who we are and we are not ashamed of it, which is awesome. I think, ladies, that today's topic is going to be on singleness, and age has a lot to, takes a place in that for the way that we create this mentality of what singleness is supposed to be and how long are we supposed to be single. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm talking to myself from my experience. So singleness is something that was in my heart for a long time to speak about, because each one of us obviously have been single outside of the things of God. And then we became single when we were in the Lord as we are now. And we experienced so many things, some similar and some different. So I like to start, Margie, speak to us about your journey with singleness, because this is what we're going to talk about.
Well, my journey, it's been a long journey. You know, I've been married before and I've been single. I'm currently single now. And, it's been a journey. Some good experiences, some bad experiences. But, you know, what I can say is that when you're with the Lord, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. You can go through anything, you know, and you have better morals and values when you're with the Lord. You make better decisions when you're with the Lord. You know, when you're in the world, you choose, I guess, out of your flesh. You know, you choose what's eye candy out there, you know. But when you're with the Lord, you're really looking at a man after God's heart. You know, someone that loves the Lord. Because you know that if he loves the Lord, you know, he's going to love you. He's going to know how to love you. So it's a different kind of singleness now than it was back then when I was in the world.
So, Margie, how was it different? Like, you know, we struggle in all areas. So was there something you struggled in one way in your singleness that you process differently inside with the Lord now that you're with the Lord than when you weren't with the Lord, is what I meant
to say. I think it's similar things that you go through, but the way you handle it is different. Before, you know, being single and being in the world, you didn't have that connection with God, so you made bad decisions. Now with God, you know, you're able to pray about it. You're able to seek the Lord for direction, and you're able to wait for him to give you which way to go, which avenue do I go, you know? And so it's much better with the Lord because you have that connection with the Holy Spirit and with God, and you're able to make better decisions.
But would you say, without being intrusive, would you say that even when we are in the Lord, we still tend sometimes to make bad decisions and we choose?
It definitely happens. You know, the enemy lives on this earth, you know, so he's going to always try to manipulate you, deceive you, even with people from the church. And that I have gone through myself as well. It's hurtful, but it's a lot of eye openers, you know, that you go through. And it's not easy, definitely not easy. But again, when you cling to the Lord, he got your back, you know, and there's nothing that you can go through that he won't be there for you.
And Vanessa, your experience, your difference between before you came to the Lord and now that you're in the Lord, and even the similarities.
That's a really good question, because God put it in my heart to talk about what dating is and what courtship is. And
go right ahead, girl.
God wants us to have courtship, okay? Courtship is totally the opposite of dating. Dating is what the world thinks. So before I was saved, I thought dating was you just date a guy, you like each other, you go out on a couple of dates, your boyfriend, girlfriend, and then you have intercourse, you know? And that's not what God had planned. Courtship. courtship is something beautiful. I remember the Lord telling me that courtship is fun, courtship is wonderful. And when you hear that from the God, the Most High God himself, he knows what he's talking about. If he's the one that created the heavens and the earth and the universe, he knows what's right. And especially that's like soul ties when you think about it. When you're having intercourse with someone, you don't know how many people they were with, you know, or he doesn't know how many people you were with, you know. There's always a purpose for everything in courtship. And, you know, like I said about dating, the world sees it like you date and you have intercourse and you live together. And that's not what God had in store. That's not God's plan. God's plan is courtship. Get to know each other on this level and on the through the Holy Spirit. Do a connection with Christ. That's what God wants a true relationship to be. And of course, people think that's unrealistic, Vanessa. No, you see, the world says it's unrealistic, but Christ says, no, that is real. That is a real foundation. That's the rock that God talks about. You know, we talk about foundations and we talk about houses. A relationship is a great foundation to have that courtship where you can look at that person and love them as a, not only as your friend, but as the person you're going to marry. You know, I don't know about you, but I want someone that's going to fight for me in prayer. That's what I want. I want a powerful praying man that's going to fight for me as much as I'm going to fight for him. And like the word says, that he will love me as Christ loves the church.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, to be realistic, the man, this, our future mates, you know, they're not going to love us the way Jesus loves us, but they can learn how to love us through him.
You know? Amen. Yeah, well, when I was single in the Lord, I came to the Lord probably about the age of 28. And when I hit 45, I was getting extremely restless, tired, and weary on waiting on God. And it was a big mistake what I did. But I thank the Lord that I was still walking with him and able to learn. I was very broken, not brokenhearted. I did a video on brokenness and heartbreak. I was broken and I needed to be broken by God to see how I had taken matters in my own hands. And everything that you just said, Vanessa, and what you said, Margie, I could relate to, of course. And Vanessa, everything you said about the fact that courtship wouldn't have been something that would have been not an easy pill to swallow for me, even at the beginning of my Christian walk. But as I made this mistake that I made, it took me till I was 45. And I said to the Lord, I got this. And I still was walking with him, still at Harvest Fields, you know, still doing all the things and, you know, being honest about everything. I started dating outside the faith. Now, I am not only saying that the best guys are in the faith, because we got, you know, people will be people in either side. Yeah. In my case, I went outside my, you know, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I opened the door to so many things and that were just going to bring me down literally to death. And I mean physical death. Okay, because I opened an ugly door, and from there onward, it just spiraled into like, wow, you know. And my thing was, I didn't trust the Lord enough and his timing to believe that he was going to bring me my mate. And again, that may sound to some people, what do you mean bring me? Well, let me tell you, when you put it in God's hands, you don't have to do anything but just continue to serve God. And when you least expect it, it sounds like those, ooh, you know, it's the truth. When you least expect it, he will come your way. The other thing that was hard for me to process as a single woman being so independent and New Yorker was the fact that I want to wear the pants, right? You know, I'll know if I see him, God will tell me. Well, you know, that changed after my process and what I did. No, I wanted God to let the man know. I wanted that man to know. And that's what happened to me with my husband. He was spoken to before I was about him. I thought he was crazy. But he said to me, I'm supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be my bride. My husband came to me when he was newly coming back to the Lord after being backslidden for mega years. He was 18 when he got saved. I was 28. He went through a lifespan of insanity. So when he came to me and I'm supposed to be so grown in the Lord, I'm like, are you kidding me? That man is not even mature in the Lord. What am I going to get into? You know what I'm saying? But God spoke to me because I decided I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I am not going to get married to this man until I know that you want me with this man. And God will speak to you as quick as he wants like that. And overnight said, marry him. He needs you and you need him. Go figure. He needs you and you need him. And I'm going to tell you, now that I'm married, it was really scary because I had not met my husband face to face. I met my husband, it's a very long story, but I met him through Facebook, not because we were looking for talking in that manner. It was because of the art. He's a professional photographer, award-winning in New York. I was going back and forth to New York, former recording artist, and we knew common people, and we had a conversation. That conversation from that day became an everyday conversation on the phone, me in Florida, he in New York. He went to a retreat. He was told by God that I was to be his wife. He had been married before, way back then. I thought he was crazy, but like I said, I fasted, I prayed, and the Lord said what he said. I was scared. Is marriage perfect? No. Has it been a journey? 8 years? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Because I know what I was doing before him, and I know all the things that I got myself into that were not of God, and I know what that felt like to know the difference between this and that. So, you know, I want you to speak about, because I really struggled a lot in my singleness in regards to loneliness. Vanessa, have you experienced, even though we love the Lord, there ain't nothing wrong with that, that sense of loneliness that has gotten to you at times in your singleness?
Many, many times. Even recently, it gets, I'm going to be real, it's annoying. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when your family members ask you, so what's new? That's code for, are you seeing someone? You got a boyfriend? And I'm here like, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. And I had someone, a family member, tell me, why don't you go online and go on a dating site? And I'm like, no, that's not what God said. I don't have to do that. The Lord told me I don't have to. My mate is already there. I'm just waiting for God's timing. And in that timing, there's a lot of prayer. When I feel lonely and I feel sad, you got to go to the Father. That is the only way you're going to get through it. People think when you're single and alone, and I don't have children. I have a little dog for 15 years. My dog is actually old and she's sick right now, but God is working that out. There are just days when I just cry, and there are days when I'm happy. But I'm also going through the change too. So there's a lot of roller coasters happening too. And it's annoying. You know, you're hot, you're cold, you're happy, you're sad, and you're thinking you're going crazy. What bothers me a little bit in especially in church, and again, I'm gonna be real, is that when someone's discerning my loneliness, hello, I live alone, I work alone because I work from home. It's just me and my dog. Of course, I'm going to have a sense of loneliness, you know? But that doesn't mean that I'm after your mate. If anything, I respect and honor marriages because I was married, you know? I respect and honor every man and woman in church that are married. I think it's awesome. I cheer when I hear somebody's engaged. But then I also joke about it going on. If I hear another person getting engaged again, I'm going to scream. I'm going to scream. Oh, they're getting married. Oh,
girl. Isn't that the truth?
It's so true.
But I think that unfortunately, when there's more women single in church than men, mm-hmm. You know, it's the truth.
And we need to pray for the men,
exactly, to step up. But then there's a bright side to it, you know. I love when people tell me, oh, you don't have kids and you live alone. You can do whatever you want. I say, yeah, but I'm limited. You know, there's things I can't do that I need a man to help me with, you know. I don't have a car, so I have to do a lot of things by myself. And to be honest, I'm being real. It's annoying. You know, I'm older, and I don't know about you ladies, but the older I get, the more I like simplicity. I like things, you know, done a certain way. And
yeah, and we're not settling at this age. We're not settling.
Right, we're not settling. And,
right.
And that's how I feel about everything. I'm just not gonna go out with anybody. You know?
So what I'm getting out of this is, for those that are listening, is that Vanessa and Margie and myself believe don't settle. Absolutely. Don't settle. And there is a good side to being, you know, single, because we do have this time in a way that in marriage, we don't have as much time to spend with the Lord one to one. It's just like an all day. Jesus sitting next to you while you're watching TV. Jesus with you. I used to put my hand and pray on the bed because I said, no man, and they didn't, praise the Lord, is ever going to sleep in this bed. You are with me here, God. It will only be the one that you've chosen for me. And I would pray this every night. And I knew that this is just, you know, guys, don't think we're crazy. It's something we imagine. You know, the Lord is omnipresent, that he's right there with us. Right there as our Lord, as our husband, as the lover of our soul. And it's hard for people to understand this because we're thinking it in a carnal manner. It is a beautiful in a spiritual manner. That's not what it is. It's not the flesh. It's not sexual. You know, it's spirit, and it's incredible. So Margie, how do you feel when you know, there are lonely times? There has to be, you know?
While Vanessa was talking, God really put it in my heart to share. You know, and I want to say this to people out there, that if you're single and you're lonely, to just get to the root of where the loneliness is coming from. Because for me personally, my loneliness is not because I'm single, because even when I was married, I felt lonely. So sometimes some of us, we have to get to like the root of the problem, like where exactly this stems from. And I know for me personally, when I was separated from my father as a little girl, that's where it started. You know, I missed my father. I wanted to be with my father. And I went through my life, my early 20s and 30s, just looking for love in all the wrong places, because I didn't have that love growing up. The love of a dad, the love of a father, the love of a man. So I went through my life looking for that in all the wrong places and made a lot of mistakes. And when I came back to Christ at age 40 is when I really knew what true love of a man was, you know? So if you're suffering from that, you really have to just go back and say, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? You know, and even when you're in Christ, you know, you still struggle with it, because we're not meant to be alone. You know, the Bible says that a man is not meant to be alone. A woman's not meant to be alone. You know, we're supposed to be somebody's helper, you know? So yeah, it's not easy, but waiting on the Lord is not easy either, but we have to do it, you know, and we have to stay strong and ask God to take away those desires. If we have desires, which, because we're normal and, you know, we're human, you know, just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't have desires. You know, so we have desires and we ask the Lord to take them away. Lord, right now, that's not my season. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Take those desires out of my heart, you know, and he does. He takes it out. He fills it with more things to occupy yourself with, you know. So it's definitely not easy. Like Vanessa said, I have my days where I'm just like, you know, it's the loneliness is too much, you know. But then that's where we have to get our word, our Bible, you know, and we have to start reading and we have to pray and we ask God, you know. And there's sometimes where I go into prayer and I feel really alone, but when I come out of prayer, I feel like I have a room full of people, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now I got a room full and I'm not alone anymore. So definitely stay in your word.
That is so true. And I know that it sounds cliche to a lot of people. We have walked that walk. I have cried many tears in loneliness to the Lord in my apartment in the Bronx. I felt like I was the only person in the world that was single. And these things that are not of God can come and try to control your mind, you know, and then now your emotions are all over the place. And I started feeling like I was the last person on earth that was ever going to get married. One of the most difficult things I went through in church was the fact that I did have a lot of single friends, but a lot of them had children. So I still didn't fit in. it was like, here I am single, but mm-hmm. then they're single with children. And I respect that. They're beautiful, but the kids took a lot of their attention. They were little at that time when I was hanging out. They took so much of their attention that I was really just there physically hanging out, but not really, you know, because they had to be a mother. And another thing that I didn't like, something that happened at church, Vanessa, you have mentioned church, is the fact that I don't think it's taught enough, you know, mm-hmm. about, you know, some people say things like, oh, well, if God hasn't sent you your mate, you're not ready. Let me tell you, there is a preparation, but the ultimate rest of the preparation happens right when you're married. It doesn't happen before you're married. And you know this because you've all been married before. You know, there is that sense of preparation, you know, knowing what you're getting yourself into, being grounded in the things of God. Because the first, I don't know, 5 years of my marriage, I struggled because I felt like I had lost my identity. You know, now I was Arlene Ramirez Colon, and now I'm Colon. And what about Arlene the singer? What about Arlene the person? What about now I'm washing clothes and I have nothing of my own, and I'm in a different foreign land of Florida. It was very hard when I would call like for doctors or whatever it was. I didn't have a job. Everything had to go with my husband included. If my husband wasn't included, I needed his papers, his stuff. It's as if though I didn't exist. So when you talk about loneliness in marriage, I had that. Especially with my husband having to work two jobs, and I didn't hardly see him for the first, literally, probably 6 to 7 years of our marriage.
Wow.
It was because of the pandemic that God changed his job. A blessing came out of it. I wouldn't see my husband. I would still cry as a married woman. I would still didn't know what to do with myself. So loneliness is a real thing. But like you said, you have to see where it was founded on. So if you think right now we're talking about singleness, what does that have to do with it? It has a lot to do with it. Because whatever we still have inside of ourselves that we have not worked out, we have mm-hmm. not healed from, comes into our relationships with everybody, with our friends, mm-hmm. with our future boyfriend, with our future husband, whoever it might be, our mate. And therefore, you're right, we have to heal. So yes, there is a time of preparation, and the time is now. And although you two have already been married, it doesn't mean you're thinking you've arrived. No, you learned from your past. And now you want God to work something out in you in the present because you want to please God. Because first and foremost, that's the thing we forget as Christians and young Christians that might hear this, is that your first love has to be Christ Jesus. There is no way on earth that you're going to be able to love a man as your husband if you do not have the love of Christ. You cannot and you will not. You will not be able to tolerate, to have forbearance, patience, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You won't without Christ. So every time that we think that just because, like Margie said, you're with another person that and that person and you're married, that you're supposed to not be lonely, that's a lie. You have to first have that relationship with Jesus, that no matter what happens, that no matter who's not with you, you have him and you know you have him. Because all we used to hear was all one with Christ. You're not lonely. You're all one with Christ. Well, again, it sounded cliche, but it's true. Once you get that lonely feeling, don't allow it to grasp you, because the enemy uses that to bring you to a place where you feel like you're not important, like you shouldn't exist. Like you're going to be a maid, what is it they used to call it? Old maid? That, you know, you and like I did. I got married at 49. I couldn't have children. But I had prayed at 31 for God to take away the desire, if I was never going to be able to have a child, to take it away. He took it away. He took it away. I'm not crying because I ain't got babies. He took it away, you know? So that's the kind of God we have. That thing, what you said about courtship, it may seem old-fashioned, but it's the right thing to do. It gives you an opportunity to keep your emotions out the way and ask God to let you see the reality of the situation, because this is too important. You're too precious to God. And whoever he is, he's too precious for God, to God, you know?
Yeah.
And courtship should not be called an old-fashioned word. And I think church is not teaching young people enough. And they're saying, oh, well, if you're in love, get married. You're young, because they don't want them to burn, you know, in lust and all that. Yeah. Wrong. Yeah. Let's start teaching them the right way. right. that they can so they can get married and be healthy in their way of thinking.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that too, because in the church that I grew up in, a lot of people made mistakes because it was drilled in our head, it was better to marry than to burn. So the minute we started dating or courting someone, we had to get married because they didn't want us to fall, you know? So that's the mistake that the church is making in this day, back in the days, and even now, that forcing people to get married when they are dating. And that's why the divorce rates are so high, you know, in this day and age, because of that. And that is so wrong, because they should be teaching to marry out of love, not out of, you know, hurry up before you sin, you know? So it's something that the church has to work on.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Vanessa, you talked about soul ties. You know, when I was younger, I read a book called, it was on soul ties, but I can't remember the title. I still have it somewhere. That book was so impactive because we have to understand the spiritual element of when you join together in body with another person, you literally are soul tied. Mm-hmm. You literally are. I experienced it when I fell during the time I told you that I was outside the things of the Lord after being pure for 16 years. Believe it, that God can keep you pure. Believe it, that God can keep you from all purity, staying pure. I mean everything. What your eyes are watching in the movies, he kept me pure. You don't touch yourself, he kept me pure. But I got so lonely and I got so consumed with the lies of the enemy that I thought I was never going to have my mate, that I went and walked out, opened the door, as I mentioned, and allowed myself to be soul tied with someone, period, and especially someone that wasn't in the Lord. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that's real, because I felt the spiritual, physical ramifications of the fact that you are tied with that person and all their garbage. When you're walking in the Lord, your sensitivity is heightened in the Spirit of God to the point that you can feel something that is not of you, but now you have entangled yourself with it. And I believe that if you don't, first of all, don't get to that place as a single person, but if you get there like I did, you better pray to God to get you out of there.
Yeah.
Because if you don't pray God out there, it just continues to spiral, and those ties will entangle themselves in a place that will lead you by the devil to tell you, as he told me, to kill myself. Mm-hmm. So one day you're sane, right? And one day you're going, your mind is not working right for that moment. And that is not of you. That's what you said, Vanessa, the soul tie. Mm-hmm. So Vanessa, talk to me a little bit more about what you have understood with soul ties.
Well, before I was saved, I dealt with soul ties. I never really had an abusive relationship, but when I got married, I dealt with domestic violence and domestic abuse. But I can share another day. But I remember when I was a youth leader at my other church, where he showed me pictures. He said, "I want you to show the kids pictures of different people and show them," and it was famous people, by the way, because I wanted the kids to really understand what soul ties really is. And I would put, I think it was Kim Kardashian or something like that, somebody, and I don't want to fault her because we all fall short to the glory of God. I fall short too. And I put like all the pictures of the guys that she was with, and then I would have the kids go behind the picture and I said, "Okay, you see these two? Okay, now you got to go. Okay, next, you see these two? Okay, now you gotta go." Count how many relationships she was in. And they counted. And I said, "You see, God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be holy and pure when you meet your mate. Holy and pure means no interactions, no nothing sexual, you know. Holding hands, that's great. A hug to the side, that's wonderful. But if it's gonna lead to anything else, you're going to deal with all these ties that have my undertoning demonicness. You know, let's be real. There may be a lot of undertones to it. Do you want that in your life? You know, I'm pretty sure when we were doing the things we were doing that were not of God, and I'm being transparent, it must have broke God's heart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To do that. And because we're his daughters, he loves us so much that he wants the best for us. Yeah. But we are like super impatient. We want things today, now. You know what I mean? I get impatient with the microwave sometimes. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's only 30 seconds. Come on now. You know what I mean?
But yeah. And but also these are things that they also don't teach us when, you know, when we're in church. When I remember growing up in church, you know, I went to Pentecostal church again, and you know, they preached hard about sinning and hell and everything, but they didn't preach about things like this. And I came to know about this when I came back to the Lord at 40 and I went to Assembly of God church, and they started teaching about these things, and I was like, soul ties, what's that? At age 40. All right, so it's things that they is not taught enough out there. Right, so it's right. Important to teach about it.
And we're in a supernatural world. So if we believe that there are demonic demons in this earth, why could we not believe in soul ties?
Yeah.
You know, like people would think that doesn't make sense and it's silly. I'm like, yeah, but the Bible says that we're not to conform to this world. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be transformed in the renewing of the mind that is Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, you're single? Is it by choice?
Like there's something wrong with us, you know?
Like if it's a death sentence. I've literally heard people think that it's a death sentence. I heard somebody say to me, Dito, Vanessa's like single, she's alone, and she don't have kids. I said, well, Sarah had kids when she was 89. Not that I want to be 89 and have a baby. Right. You know, and I'm not Janet Jackson. She had a baby at 50, and I don't have Janet Jackson money, but you know what I mean? And babies are a lot of work. Kids are a lot of work. I see my nephew, and I'm like, oh my God, he's 12 going on 50, you know?
Yeah.
But if it is his will, amen, amen. But if it's not his will, amen, amen.
And you know what? Sometimes I thank God that we are single, because the examples that we have to this day and age, the people that are married and are miserable and wish they were divorced, and that this is what I see around me. And I'm like, I think I'm really blessed to be single, because I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be married and miserable. I don't want to be married and fighting, you know, and married and wishing I was alone. So sometimes it's better to be single and happy than married and miserable.
Amen to that. The many times I've walked down the street and I've heard couples argue hardcore, and I go, thank you, Lord, it's not me. Thank you, God, it's not me.
All this domestic violence and everything that's happening is like, wow, you know, I'm really good by myself.
But I praise the Lord about that. I just want to share quickly about my domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God was so good that he delivered me from that. It took 4 years after my divorce, but he did deliver me from that. But I remember the Lord telling me, although my ex-husband was a baby in Christ, the Lord said that it's a choice to love your wife. It's a choice to live this life. It's a choice to walk the walk. I mean, we went to Christian counseling and everything. And here I am growing, and he's blaming everything on me, that everything is my fault. And those are things that God needs to deliver him from. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, my hope is that he's in church. My hope, because I know he's in California, but my hope is he in church. My hope that he's delivered. You know, if I saw him walking down the street, I'd be like, hey, what's up? But if it was after our divorce, I would want him to get hit by a truck, to be quite honest. You know what I mean? But praise the Lord that when you ask to be delivered, he grants it to you. It took time. But my hope is that I don't want any woman to go through what I went through.
Yeah.
You know? But again, it's a choice. Just like all of us here, it's a choice to walk this walk. You know? God is not a puppet. He doesn't pull a string and say, okay, you know, Vanessa, go to church. Okay, Vanessa, read your Bible. Okay, Vanessa, pray. No, it's a choice to want to get closer. And the closer we get to him, ladies, the more he transforms our lives.
Okay.
The more that I could wake up in the morning, like, I don't know about you, but when I was dealing with the pandemic, when we were all dealing with this pandemic, I sat back and I said to myself, you know, praise God, I'm alive. I may be lonely, but I'm alive, Lord. You saved me from this, you know? This thing went left field. You know, you saved my mom from heartache, you know? And you kept me, you know? It really, the pandemic totally changed my perspective about being alone. Do I still get lonely? Yes, I do. But I pray and I ask God and I redecorate my apartment and mm-hmm. I do all this stuff.
Yeah, you say
I keep myself active, mm-hmm. you know, because it could be worse, right? We could be in the hospital, God forbid. We could be dealing with a disease, God forbid. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm just so blessed to wake up in the morning. Like, I used to just sit in my bed, lie down, and I'd be like, I have a bed. Praise God, right? I'm alone. I'm single, but I got a bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You really learn to appreciate everything else.
Exactly. Yeah. People in this world don't have what we have. And we have this precious gift of salvation. And if any woman out there is single and alone and feeling any crazy thoughts, just know that we've been there, we've mm-hmm. done that, mm-hmm. but we hold on to the garment of Christ. Because mm-hmm. I would tell people, Jesus is all I have. Through my divorce, when we were fighting, I told him one thing that stuck to this day. I said to him, you know, you could take everything from me, but you could never take Jesus from me. You can never. You couldn't even try. You couldn't take him from me. So...
Amen. And the one of the important things to know in your singleness and your loneliness is know your worth. Know who you are in Christ.
Amen.
You know, once you know who you are that you are a person of much worth and value, because God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make junk. And he made us all individual and all pretty and unique in our own little way. And when we start to see ourselves how God sees us, not how the world and the magazines and, oh, I'm supposed to look, the world wants you to look like the magazines, you know? And this is we're all individual and God made us all individual in our own beauty and uniqueness. You know, when we start seeing ourselves in the mirror, how God sees us, and we see our worth and our value, you know, we'll start giving people discounts, you know? So we have to see that, and that's going to help us in our singleness and our loneliness.
Yeah, there was a time that, let's say I liked a brother, you know, very nice brother, a man of the Lord, and I was hoping that maybe he'd become my boyfriend and hoping that maybe he's the one, you know? There I go, you know, wanting to control everything. Whenever if that person didn't feel the same way about me, then I felt a sense of rejection. So I remember when the Holy Spirit said to me, no, it's not rejection, it's protection.
Ooh, amen. Yes.
You know, and that's what you, when you said, Margie, that we have to look within ourselves instead of saying, oh, what's wrong with him? Why did he reject me? Or what's wrong with me? Look within yourself to see why are you processing it as a rejection? Mm-hmm. When in reality, it wasn't a rejection. And when you walk with God, you make one left turn. But if you're walking with God and you're sensitive to the things of God, you are going to hear from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, it's up to you guys out there who are single to choose which way do you want to go, God's way or your way? Because in every role that I've been, I have felt the nudging of the Lord telling me no. And when I opened that door, I did so willfully and disobediently, and I could not deny it because God never took me through that door. So a lot of times we got to be careful in our loneliness that we don't have a sister lead us our own place neither. And I say this to the church, we need to be more sensitive to those that are single, not bendito sensitive, just sensitive in regards to the differences. I had great people at Harvest that they taught me a lot through their marriage that was good. And you know how they did that? They'd invite me to their home on a Sunday, and I've had dinners with them. I had holidays with them, with some couples of Harvest Fields that were there. Now they're at other churches, and some became pastors. That taught me so much. It's so important that if you're married, that you remember, you know, I'm not saying you bring every single girl in or young girl, because there are people that come with bad, you know, intentions.
Yeah.
But you know in the spirit, if you're supposed to take them under your wing and let them see what a Christian marriage is. It's not perfect. It has its disagreements. You're two human people, but you see the love of Christ within both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You see it. You mm-hmm. see it. You see the transparency. So they took me under their wing and they invited me, and then the other invited me, they invited me. So I got to say that I really learned a lot from them, and it was a wonderful experience. And when I did have my first boyfriend in the Lord, the Crossroads, they literally invited me and I to dinner in their home. And that's what we should do more of if people out there are married, is you should do that, especially so that the man could sow into the life of the man and you know, just be a good brother to him and teach him what a husband's supposed to be like. And the woman could be a good wife. Because we wife, we try to get in the way too. You know, in our singleness, we have learned to be so independent, so strong.
Yes.
So, you know, I had a list, okay? A list in my mental list that these are the characteristics of a man. You know what ended up happening? Woo! Went to the wayside. The one thing that was not negotiable when I get married was that he had to serve Christ. He had to love him. He had to go to church. He had to want to pray to him. There's those things were non-negotiable. But everything else, woo, girl. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna happen. Because you're praying for something, some of us, that you want to be perfect. But in your singleness, you're gonna realize that you're not perfect and that his strengths are your weaknesses and his weaknesses are truly your strength. Yeah. I do not cook. I do not cook, ladies. And you know, I never prayed about that, but everybody laughed at the wedding. Because in the vows, I said, well, I never cooked anyway. So he cooks every single day. And he was working when I wasn't working. And you want to know why? He'll do me breakfast. He leaves me breakfast, whatever it is. It's because that's his talent. He was a sous chef. He cooks delicious. I don't want to cook. He cooks. But you know what I am? I'm a neat freak. I wash the dishes. I pick up this. I make sure. I never thought in my life, and you people in your singleness, because we're very selfish when we're single, because we're self people, just us, you know? But you realize how selfish you are when you get married. Because when you get married, this guy might have wonderful strengths, but he has these weaknesses, and he don't pick up the towel and, you know, whatever, those little things that irritate you. Yeah. But you know what? He does a thousand other things that are wonderful. He makes sure you have the coffee done, or he makes sure you have a little breakfast, or he makes sure he washed that load because he knows you're busy, or he makes sure that if he leaves at 6 a.m, he lets you sleep. So those little things don't mean anything anymore if he leaves a towel. You do it for him because you see how much he shows he loves you by doing for you. And that's when you learn that things that were important to you are petty, become petty. Mm-hmm. Because each one of us are going to show love in a different manner. Because we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? So, ladies, anything else you want to say? Oh, I do have one question that I ask everybody before we close. And that is this. Margie, if you had to tell your younger self anything today that you are wiser, what would you say?
Whew, my younger self. Just love yourself for who you are. Love yourself for who God made you to be. That's what I would tell myself.
That's a great one. Self-care.
And you are not a mistake. No, you're not a mistake. Love yourself. And loving yourself is the beginning of all things in your life. That's the first thing. Amen.
Amen. How about you, Vanessa?
There's so many things to say, but I think one of them that I was thinking right now is to never give up on your hopes and dreams, you know, and your talents. Your talents. Growing up, I wasn't told that I could sing well till the Lord told me that I could sing well when I was little, like when I was like 10 or 11 years old. He said, you're going to sing for me someday. And I went, okay. I didn't understand because I wasn't saved and I didn't get it. But here I am now. And I would encourage myself more, you know, to strive for excellence, you know.
That's awesome, because you know what I call myself, not because I'm arrogant, but because it is what it is. I don't call myself a social media influencer. I am a God influencer, and that's what I put down. I am a God influencer. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that as we get older, we see that there's so many wonderful things and talents that God has deposited in us. And part of me laughs and say, well, I'll probably be a popular God influencer by the time I'm 70, but who cares? You know, because it's literally my YouTube, it doesn't have a lot of subscriptions yet, but every week I get a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm surprised is because I'm finally getting the 25 and 30 something when I used to have more people my age. And the importance of me to do what we're doing now is because God gave me this vision 2 years ago with this specific show called Speak It Out, Sing It Loud, but I didn't have all that he's given me now. Yeah. Adelante with Arlene was birthed in 2010. And I had a different visual about it, and I tried it that way, and then it stopped for 10 years. And when I was in my hardest and most difficult and painful place of loneliness, depression, and it manifested physically here in Florida, is when he said, get on, and I had to get on live. I went on without makeup. I went on and I had to do what he said to do. So Vanessa, it's never too late, absolutely. As long as we're on this earth, we need to remember that if God wants to use us, he can and he will if we let him.
Mm-hmm.
Let him. So ladies, thank you so much for being on Speak It Out, Sing It Loud. I know there's so much more you could have said, and we will have another time where I could have Vanessa and we could talk about a bunch of things she wants to talk about. And we got Margie because she's got so much going on. And I thank you. And Margie, can you close us out in prayer?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father God, we just come to you in this day, Father God. We give you the thanks, Lord, and we give you all the glory, Father God, for what you have done today. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for this time of talk, Father God. May everything that we said today, Father God, be of encouragement and support to other women out there, even to the men, Father God, the men and the women that are single out there, Father God. Let us know, Father God, that we have so much worth, Father God, in you, Father God, that our value and worth is only found in you, Father God, and not in what the world says that we are, Father God. We thank you, our Lord, for Arlene. We thank you for Vanessa and everybody else that's out there today, Father God. We thank you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 There's something that's got put in my heart that's so important. Many of us have experienced prior to being in the Lord and in the Lord, men that were so corrupted, so hurt, so broken that hurt hurts others and they hurt us. But the important things that God showed me was that he loves them too. So if someone has been hurt out there by some man, doesn't mean you have to be his friend, but pray for him. Because God loves him and you never know, he may have a chance to come to Christ himself. The other thing is, I thought all men were dogs. I hate that statement. I hate it, and I don't use that word hate, because that is not truth. That's a lie. There are lovely men of God out there, ladies, lovely men of God. And in my journey, I met many of them. But they were not supposed to be for me, so God spoke to them and said they had to leave me because he had another for me. And I can tell you there wasn't only one. There was about four of them. So God has a respectable, lovely man, because I've met many in the Lord. You just got to wait on him. Wait on him and pray and make sure that this is what God wants for you. So thank you. God bless you. And as I say at the end of every video and every podcast,
well, that was so wonderful. I'm so glad to have had my friends on to share with you as they did. Oh, what a wonderful time we had. I hope that anything we said has blessed you, inspired you, as I always say, and give you hope. Hope that it's gonna be okay. If you haven't checked out my playlist here on Adelante with Arlene, entitled Speak It Out and Sing It Loud, please do. On those videos, I have so many of my friends, as I said, friends of old and friends of new. They share their, as I always say, their aspirations, their successes, well, their failures, and the things they've overcome. They let you know what they're doing now and how grateful they are to share it with you. I also want to encourage you to check out all the rest of the playlists. I'm sure you'll find something that will inspire you. Don't forget to check out my podcast right there. Now know this, these podcasts, they're not recorded the same as the video. I actually do two separate recordings. So although it might be the same topic, rest assured, I may say something in one that I don't say in the other. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to go check it out. You'll find there on the anchor.fm platform that there are ways to see and stream and listen rather through Spotify, Apple, Breaker, and so much more.
inspired.
Don't forget, if you have not subscribed to Adelante with Arlene, please consider subscribing. Let your friends know and share. Also, your thumbs up means a lot to me and your lovely comments. I appreciate you all. What is it that I see at the end of every video and every podcast?
Seek Adelante.
Until next time, keep moving forward.
Thank you for tuning in to Adelante with Arlene. Let me inspire.